the 18th of November. Up and to the office, and thence to the Committee of the Fishery at Whitehall, where so poor simple doings about the business of the lottery that I was ashamed to see it, that a thing so low and base should have anything to do with so noble an undertaking. But I had the advantage this day to hear Mr. Williamson discourse, who came to be a contractor with others for the lotteries, and indeed I find he is a very logical man and a good speaker. But it was so pleasant to see my Lord Craven, the chairman, before many persons of worth and grave, use this comparison in saying that certainly those that would contract for all the lotteries would not suffer us to set up the Virginia Lottery for plate before them. For, says he, if I occupy a wench first, you may occupy her again, your heart out. You can never have her maidenhead after I have once had it. Which he did say more loosely, and yet as if he had fetched a most grave and worthy instance. They made mirth, but I and others were ashamed of it. Thence to the change, and thence home to dinner, and thence to the office a good while, and thence to the council chamber at Whitehall to speak with Sir George Carteret. And here, by accident, heard a great and famous cause between Sir George Lane and one Mr. Philip Hoare, an Irish business about Sir George Lane's endeavouring to reverse a decree of the late Commissioners of Ireland in a rebel's case for his land, which the King had given as forfeited to Sir George Lane, for whom the solicitor did argue most angel-like. And one of the commissioners, Baron Rainsford, did argue for the other, and for himself and his brethren who had decreed it. But the solicitor doth so pay the commissioners, how four all along did act for the Papists, and three only for the Protestants, by which they were overvoted. But at last one word, which was omitted in the solicitor's repeating of an act of Parliament in the case, being insisted on by the other part, the solicitor was put to a great stop, and I could discern he could not tell what to say, but was quite out. Thence home, well pleased with this accident, and so home to my office, where late, and then to supper and to bed. This day I had a letter from Mr. Coventry that tells me that my Lord Brunkard is to be one of our commissioners, of which I am very glad if any more must be. The 19th of November. All the morning at the office, and without dinner, down by galley, up and down the river, to visit the yards and ships now ordered forth, with great delight. And so home to supper, and then to office late to write letters, then home to bed. The 20th of November. Lord's Day. Up and with my wife to church, where Peg Penn, very fine in her new coloured silk suit, laced with silver lace. Dined at home, and Mr. Shepley, lately come to town, with me. A great deal of ordinary discourse with him, among other things praying him to speak to Stanks to look after our business. With him, and in private with Mr. Bodham, talking of our rope-yard stores at Woolwich, which are mighty low, even to admiration. They gone, in the evening comes Mr. Andrews and sings with us. And he gone, I to Sir William Batten's, where Sir John Minnis, and he, and I, to talk about our letter to my Lord Treasurer, where his folly and simple confidence so great, in a report so ridiculous that he hath drawn up to present to my Lord, nothing of it being true, that I was ashamed, and did roundly, and in many words for an hour together, talk boldly to him, which pleased Sir William Batten and my lady, but I was in the right, and was the willinger to do so before them, that they might see that I am somebody, and shall serve him so in his way another time. So home, vexed at this night's passage, for I had been very hot with him. So to supper, prayers, and to bed, out of order with this night's vexation. The 21st of November. Up and with them to the Lords at Whitehall, where they do single me out to speak to, and to hear, much to my content, and received their commands particularly in several businesses. Thence, by their order to the Attorney General's, about a new warrant for Captain Taylor, which I shall carry for him to be Commissioner, in spite of Sir William Batten. And yet, indeed, it is not I, but the ability of the man, that makes the Duke and Mr. Coventry stand by their choice. I to the change, and there stayed long doing business. And this day, for certain, news is come that Teddyman hath brought in 18 or 20 Dutchmen, merchants, their Bordeaux fleet, and 2 men of war, to Portsmouth. And I had letters this afternoon that 3 are brought into the Downs and Dover. So that the war is begun. God give a good end to it. After dinner at home all the afternoon, busy, and at night with Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis looking over the business of stating the accounts of the Navy charge to my Lord Treasurer, where Sir John Minnis's paper served us in no stead almost, but was all false. And after I had done it with great pains, he being by, I am confident he understands not one word in it. At it till 10 at night almost. Thence by coach to Sir Philip Warwick's by his desire to have conferred with him. But he being in bed, I to Whitehall to the secretary's, and there wrote to Mr. Coventry, and so home by coach again. A fine clear moonshine night, but very cold. Home to my office a while, it being past 12 at night, and so to supper and to bed. The 22nd of November. At the office all the morning, Sir George Carteret, upon a motion of Sir William Batten's, did promise, if we would write a letter to him, to show it to the King on our behalf, touching our desire of being commissioners of the prize office. I wrote a letter to my mind, and after eating a bit at home, Mr. Shepley, dining and taking his leave of me, abroad, and to Sir George Carteret with the letter, and thence to my Lord Treasurer's, where, with Sir Philip Warwick, long studying all we could to make the last year swell as high as we could. And it is much to see how he doth study for the King to do it, to get all the money from the Parliament, all he can. And I shall be serviceable to him therein, to help him to heads upon which to enlarge the report of the expense. He did observe to me how obedient this Parliament was for a while, and the last sitting, how they begun to differ and to carp at the King's officers, and what they will do now, he says, is to make agreement for the money, for there is no guess to be made of it. He told me he was prepared to convince the Parliament that the subsidies are a most ridiculous tax, the 4 last not rising to £40,000, and unequal. He talks of a tax of assessment of £70,000 for 5 years, the people to be secured that it shall continue no longer than there is really a war, and the charges thereof to be paid. He told me that 1 year of the late Dutch war cost £1,623,000. Thence to my Lord Chancellor's, and there stayed long with Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis, to speak with my Lord about our prize office business. But being sick and full of visitants, we could not speak with him, and so away home. Where Sir Richard Ford did meet us, with letters from Holland this day, that it is likely the Dutch fleet will not come out this year. They have not victuals to keep them out, and it is likely they will be frozen before they can get back. Captain Cock is made steward for sick and wounded seamen. So home to supper, where troubled to hear my poor boy Tom hath a fit of the stone, or some other pain like it. I must consult Mr. Holliard for him. So at 1 in the morning, home to bed. The 23rd of November. Up and to my office, where close all the morning about my Lord Treasurer's account, and at noon, home to dinner, and then to the office all the afternoon, very busy till very late at night, and then to supper and to bed. This evening Mr. Holliard came to me, and told me that he hath searched my boy, and he finds he hath a stone in his bladder, which grieves me to the heart, he being a good-natured and well-disposed boy, and more, that it should be my misfortune to have him come to my house. Sir George Carteret was here this afternoon, and strange to see how we plot to make the charge of this war to appear greater than it is, because of getting money. The 24th of November. Up and to the office, where all the morning busy answering of people, About noon, out with Commissioner Pett, and he and I to a coffee house to drink chocolate. Very good. And so by coach to Westminster, being the first day of the Parliament's meeting. After the House had received the King's speech, and what more he had to say, delivered in writing, the Chancellor being sick, it rose, and I, with Sir Philip Warwick, home, and conferred our matters about the charge of the Navy, and am more to give him in the excessive charge of this year's expense. I dined with him, and Mr. Povey with us, and Sir Edmund Pooley, a fine gentleman, and Mr. Chichley, and fine discourse we had, and fine talk. Being proud to see myself accepted in such company, and thought better than I am. After dinner, Sir Philip and I to talk again, and then away home to the office, where sat late, beginning our sittings now in the afternoon, because of the Parliament, and they being rose, I to my office, where late, till almost 1 o'clock, and then home to bed. The 25th of November. Up and at my office all the morning, to prepare an account of the charge we have been put to, extraordinary, by the Dutch already, and I have brought it to appear £852,700. But God knows this is only a scare to the Parliament to make them give them more money. Thence to the Parliament House, and there did give it to Sir Philip Warwick, the House being hot upon giving the King a supply of money, and I by coach to the Change, and took up Mr. Jennings along with me, my old acquaintance. He telling me the mean manner that Sir Samuel Morland lives near him, in a house he hath bought and laid out money upon, in all to the value of £1,200, but is believed to be a beggar. And so I ever thought he would be. From the Change, with Mr. Deering and Llewellyn to the White Horse Tavern in Lombard Street, and there dined with them, he giving me a dish of meat to discourse in order to my serving Deering, which I am already obliged to do, and shall do it, and would be glad he were a man trusty, that I might venture something along with him. Thence home, and by, in the evening, took my wife out by coach, leaving her at Unthanks, while I to Whitehall and to Westminster Hall, where I have not been to talk a great while, and there hear that Mistress Lane and her husband live a sad life together, and he is gone to be a paymaster to a company to Portsmouth, to serve at sea, she big with child. Thence I home, calling my wife, and at Sir William Batten's, hear that the House hath given the King £2.5 million, to be paid for this war, only for the Navy, in 3 years' time, which is a joyful thing, to all the King's party, I see, but was much opposed by Mr. Vaughan and others, that it should be so much. So home, and to supper, and to bed. The 26th of November. Up and to the office, where busy all the morning. Home a while to dinner, and then to the office, where very late, busy till quite weary, but contented well with my dispatch of business, and so home to supper and to bed. The 27th of November. Lord's Day. To church in the morning, then dined at home, and to my office, and there all the afternoon setting right my business of flags. And after all my pains, find reason not to be sorry, because I think it will bring me considerable profit. In the evening came Mr. Andrews and Hill, and we sung with my boy Ravenscroft's 4-part psalms, most admirable music. Then, Andrews not staying, we to supper, and after supper fell into the rarest discourse with Mr. Hill about Rome and Italy, the most pleasant that I ever had in my life. At it very late, and then to bed. The 28th of November. Up and with Sir John Minnis and William Batten to Whitehall, but no committee of lords, which is like to do the King's business well. So to Westminster, and there to Jervis, and was a little while with Jane, and so to London by coach and to the coffee-house, where certain news of our peace made by Captain Allen with Algier, which is good news, and that the Dutch have sent part of their fleet round by Scotland, and resolved to pay off the rest half pay, promising the rest in the spring, hereby keeping their men. But how true this, I know not. Home to dinner, then came Dr. Clark to speak with me about sick and wounded men, wherein he is like to be concerned. And after him Mr. Cutler, and much talk with him, and with him to Whitehall to have waited on the Lords by order, but no meeting neither to-night, which will spoil all. I think I shall get something by my discourse with Cutler. So home, and after being at my office an hour with Mr. Povey, talking about his business at Tangier, getting him some money allowed him for freight of ships, wherein I hope to get something too, he gone, I home, hungry and almost sick for want of eating, and so to supper and to bed. The 29th of November. Up and with Sir William Batten to the Committee of Lords at the Council Chamber, where Sir George Carteret told us what he had said to the King, and how the King inclines to our request of making us commissioners of the prize office. But meeting him anon in the gallery, he tells me that my Lord Berkeley is angry we should not acquaint him with it, so I found out my Lord and pacified him, but I know not whether he was so in earnest or no, for he looked very frowardly. Thence to the Parliament House, and with Sir William Batten home, and dined with him, my wife being gone to my Lady Sandwiches, and then to the office, where we sat all the afternoon, and I at my office till past 12 at night, and so home to bed. This day I hear that the King should say that the Dutch do begin to comply with him. Sir John Robertson told Sir William Batten that he heard the King say so. I pray God it may be so. The 30th of November. Up and with Sir William Batten and Sir John Menace to the Committee of the Lords, and there did our business. But, Lord, what a sorry dispatch those great persons give to business! Thence to the Change, and there hear the certainty and circumstances of the Dutch, having called in their fleet and paid their men half pay, the other to be paid them upon their being ready upon beat of drum to come to serve them again, and in the meantime to have half pay. This is said. Thence home to dinner, and so to my office all the afternoon. In the evening my wife and Sir William Warren with me to Whitehall, sending her with the coach to see her father and mother. He and I up to Sir George Carteret, and first I alone, and then both, had discourse with him about things of the navy. And so I and he, calling my wife at Unthanks, home again and long together, talking how to order things in a new contract for Norway goods, as well to the King's as to his advantage. He gone, I to my monthly accounts, and bless God I find I have increased my last balance, though but little, but I hope ere long to get more. In the meantime, praise God for what I have, which is £1,209. So with my heart glad to see my accounts fall so right in this time of mixing of monies and confusion, I home to bed. December 1664. The first. Up betimes and to Whitehall to a committee of Tangier, and so straight home and hard to my business at my office till noon, then to dinner, and so to my office, and by we sat all the afternoon, then to my office again till past 1 in the morning, and so home to supper and to bed. The 2nd of December. Lay long in bed, then up and to the office, where busy all the morning, at home dined, after dinner with my wife and Mercer to the Duke's house, and there saw The Rivals, which I'd seen before, but the play not good, nor anything but the good actings of Betterton and his wife and Harris. Thence homeward, and the coach broke with us in Lincoln's Inn Fields, and so walked to Fleet Street, and there took coach and home and to my office, whither by and by comes Captain Cock, and then Sir William Batten, and we all to Sir John Minnis, and I did give them a barrel of oysters I had given me, and so there sat and talked, where good discourse of the late troubles, they knowing things, all of them very well, and Cock from the King's own mouth, being then entrusted himself much, doth know particularly that the King's credulity to Cromwell's promises private to him, against the advice of his friends and the certain discovery of the practices and discourses of Cromwell in council, by Major Huntingdon, did take away his life, and nothing else. Then to some loose atheistical discourse of Cox, when he was almost drunk, and then, about 11 o'clock, broke up, and I to my office to fit up an account for Povey, wherein I hoped to get something. At it till almost 2 o'clock, then home to supper and to bed. The 3rd of December. Up and at the office all the morning, and at noon to Mr. Cutler's, and there dined with Sir William Ryder and him, and thence Sir William Ryder and I by coach to Whitehall to a committee of the fishery, there only to hear Sir Edward Ford's proposal about farthings, wherein, O God, to see almost everybody interested for him, only my Lord Annesley, who is a grave, serious man. My Lord Berkeley was there, but is the most hot, fiery man in discourse, without any cause, that ever I saw, even to breach of civility to my Lord Anglesey in his discourse opposing to my Lord's. At last, though, without much satisfaction to me, it was voted that it should be requested of the King, and that Sir Edward Ford's proposal is the best yet made. Thence, by coach home, the Duke of York being expected tonight with great joy from Portsmouth, after his having been abroad at sea 3 or 4 days with the fleet. And the Dutch are all drawn into their harbours, but it seems like a victory. And a matter of some reputation to us it is, and blemish to them, but in no degree like what it is esteemed at, the weather requiring them to do so. Home, and at my office late, and then to supper and to bed. The 4th of December, Lord's Day. Lay long in bed, and then up and to my office, there to dispatch a business in order to the getting something out of the Tangier business, wherein I have an opportunity to get myself paid upon the score of freight, I hope a good sum. At noon, home to dinner, and then in the afternoon to church. So home, and by and by comes Mr. Hill and Andrews, and sung together long and with great content. Then to supper, and broke up. Pretty discourse, very pleasant and ingenious. And so to my office a little, and then home, after prayer, to bed. This day I hear the Duke of York is come to town, though expected last night, as I observed, but by what hindrance stopped, I cannot tell. The 5th of December. Up and to Whitehall with Sir John Minnis, and there, among an infinite crowd of great persons, did kiss the Duke's hand, but had no time to discourse. Thence up and down the gallery, and got my Lord of Albemarle's hand to my bill for Povey. But afterward was asked some scurvy questions by Povey about my demands, which troubled me, but will do no great hurt, I think. Thence, vexed, home, and there by appointment comes my cousin Roger Pepys and Mistress Turner, and dined with me, and very merry we were. They stayed all the afternoon till night, and then after I had discoursed an hour with Sir William Warren, plainly declaring my resolution to desert him if he goes on to join with Castle, who, and his family, I for great provocations I love not, which he takes with some trouble, but will concur in everything with me, he says. Now I am loath, I confess, to lose him, he having been the best friend I have had ever in this office. So, he being gone, we all, it being night, in Madam Turner's coach to her house, there to see, as she tells us, how fat Mistress Theophila is grown. And so I find her, but not as I expected. But mightily pleased I am to hear the mother commend her daughter Betty, that she is like to be a great beauty, and she sets much by her. Thence I to Whitehall, and there saw Mr. Coventry come to town, and with all my heart am glad to see him, but could have no talk with him, he being but just come. Thence back and took up my wife, and home, where a while, and then home to supper and bed. The 6th of December. Up and in Sir William Batten's coach to Whitehall, but the Duke being gone forth, I to Westminster Hall, and there spent much time till towards noon, to and fro, with people. So by and by Mistress Lane comes, and plucks me by the cloak to speak to me, and I was fain to go to her shop, and pretending to buy some bands, made her go home, and I, by and by, followed her, and there did what I would with her. And so, after many discourses and her entreating me to do something for her husband, which I promised to do, and buying a little band of her, which I intend to keep too, I took leave, there coming a couple of footboys to her with a coach to fetch her abroad, I know not to whom. She is great with child, and she says I must be godfather, but I do not intend it. Thence by coach to the old exchange, and there hear that the Dutch are fitting their ships out again, which puts us to new discourses and to alter our thoughts of the Dutch as to their want of courage or force. Thence by appointment to the White Horse Tavern in Lombard Street, and there dined with my Lord Rutherford, Povey, Mr. Gordon, Creed, and others, and very merry. And after dinner, among other things, Povey and I withdrew, and I plainly told him that I was concerned in profit, but very justly, in this business of the bill that I have been these 2 or 3 days about, and he consents to it, and it shall be paid. He tells me how he believes, and in part knows, Creed to be worth £10,000, nay, that now and then he hath 3 or 4,000 pounds in his hands, for which he gives the interest that the king gives, which is 10%, and that he doth come and demand it every 3 months, the interest to be paid him, which Povey looks upon as a cunning and mean trick of him. But for all that he will do, and is very rich. Thence to the office where we sat and where Mr. Coventry came, the first time after his return from sea, which I was glad of. So after office to my office, and then home to supper, and to my office again, and then late home to bed. The 7th of December. Lay long, then up, and among others, Bagwell's wife, coming to speak with me, put new thoughts of folly into me, which I am troubled at. Thence, after doing business at my office, I by coach to my Lady Sandwich's, and there dined with her and found all well, and merry. Thence to Whitehall, and we waited on the Duke, who looks better than he did, methinks, before his voyage, and I think a little more stern than he used to do. Thence to the Temple to my cousin Roger Pepys, thinking to have met the doctor to have discoursed our business, but he came not, so I home, and there by agreement came my Lord Rutherford, Povey, Gordon, Creed, Alderman Backwell, about Tangier business of account between Rutherford and Gordon. Here they were with me an hour or more, then after drinking, away, and Povey and Creed stayed and ate with me, but I was sorry I had no better cheer for Povey, for the fool may be useful, and is a cunning fellow in his way, which is a strange one, and that I meet not in any other man, nor can describe in him. They late with me, and when gone, my boy and I to music, and then to bed. The 8th of December. Up and to my office, where all the morning busy. At noon, dined at home, and then to the office, where we sat all the afternoon. In the evening comes my aunt and uncle White, Mistress Norbury and her daughter, and after them Mr. Norbury, where no great pleasure, my aunt being out of humour, in her fine clothes, and it raining hard. Besides, I was a little too bold with her about her doting on Dr. Venner. Anon they went away, and I till past 12 at night at my office, and then home to bed. The 9th of December. Up betimes, and walked to Mr. Povey's, and there, not without some few troublesome questions of his, I got a note, and went and received £117, 5 shillings and no pence, of Alderman Viner upon my pretended freight of the William for Tangier, which overbears me on one side with joy, and on the other to think of my condition if I shall be called into examination about it. And though, in strictness it is due, not be able to give a good account of it. Home with it, and there comes Captain Taylor to me, and he and I did set even the business of the ship Union, lately gone for Tangier, wherein I hope to get £50 more. For all which, the Lord be praised. At noon, home to dinner, Mr. Hunt and his wife with us, and very pleasant. Then, in the afternoon, I carried them home by coach, and I to Westminster Hall, and thence to Jervis's, and there find I cannot prevail with Jane to go forth with me. But though I took a good occasion of going to the trumpet, she declined coming, which vexed me. Je ayant grande envie envers elle, avec vrai amour et passion. Thence home and to my office till 1 in the morning, setting to rights in writing this day's 2 accounts of Povey and Taylor, and then quietly to bed. This day I have several letters from several places of our bringing in great numbers of Dutch ships. The 10th of December. Lay long, at which I'm ashamed, because of so many people's observing it that know not how late I sit up, and for fear of Sir William Batten speaking of it to others, he having stayed for me a good while. At the office all the morning, where comes my Lord Brunkard with his patent in his hand, and delivered it to Sir John Minnis and myself, we alone being there, all the day. And at noon I in his coach with him to the Change, where he set me down. A modest civil person he seems to be, but wholly ignorant in the business of the navy as possible, but I hope to make a friend of him, being a worthy man. Thence, after hearing the great news of so many Dutchmen being brought into Portsmouth and elsewhere, which it is expected shall either put them upon present revenge or despair, I, with Sir William Ryder and Cutler, to dinner all alone to the Great James, where good discourse, and I hope occasion of getting something hereafter. After dinner to Whitehall to the fishery, where the Duke was with us. So home, and late at my office, writing many letters. Then home to supper and to bed. Yesterday came home, and this night I visited, Sir William Penn, who dissembles great respect and love to me, but I understand him very well. Major Holmes is come from Guinea, and is now at Plymouth, with great wealth, they say. The 11th of December, Lord's Day. Up and to church alone in the morning, dined at home, mighty pleasantly. In the afternoon I to the French church, where much pleased with the 3 sisters of the parson, very handsome, especially in their noses, and sing prettily. I hear a good sermon of the old man, touching duty to parents. Here was Sir Samuel Morland and his lady, very fine, with 2 footmen in new liveries, the church taking much notice of them, and going into their coach after sermon with great gazing. So I home, and my cousin Mary Pepys's husband came after me, and told me that out of the money he received some months since, he did receive 18 pence too much, and did now come and give it me, which was very pretty. So home, and there found Mr. Andrews and his lady, a well-bred and a tolerable pretty woman, and by and by Mr. Hill, and to singing, and then to supper. Then to sing again, and so good night, to prayers and to bed. It is a little strange how these psalms of Ravenscroft, after 2 or 3 times singing, prove but the same again, though good, no diversity appearing at all almost. The 12th of December. Up and with Sir William Batten by coach to Whitehall, where all of us with the Duke. Mr. Coventry privately did tell me the reason of his advice against our pretences to the prize office in his letter from Portsmouth, because he knew that the King and the Duke had resolved to put in some Parliament men that have deserved well, and that would need be obliged by putting them in. Thence homeward, called at my bookseller's and bespoke some books against the year out, and then to the Change, and so home to dinner and then to the office, where my Lord Brunkard comes and reads over part of our instructions in the navy, and I expounded it to him, so he has become my disciple. Egon comes Cutler to tell us that the King of France hath forbid any canvas to be carried out of his kingdom, and I, to examine, went with him to the East India House to see a letter, but came too late. So home again and there late till 12 at night at my office, and then home to supper and to bed. This day, to see how things are ordered in the world, I had a command from the Earl of Sandwich at Portsmouth, not to be forward with Mr. Chumley and Sir John Lawson about the mole at Tangier, because that what I do therein will, because of his friendship to me known, redound against him, as if I had done it upon his score. So I wrote to my lord my mistake, and am contented to promise never to pursue it more, which goes against my mind with all my heart. The 13th of December. Lay long in bed, then up, and many people to speak with me, then to my office, and dined at noon at home, then to the office again, where we sat all the afternoon, then home at night to a little supper, and so after my office again, at 12 at night, home to bed. The 14th of December. Up, and after a while at the office, I abroad in several places, among other, to my booksellers, and there spoke for several books against New Year's Day, I resolving to lay out about £7 or £8, God having given me some profit extraordinary of late, and bespoke also some plate, spoons, and forks. I pray God keep me from too great expenses, though these will still be pretty good money. Then to the change, and I home to dinner, where Creed, and Mr. Caesar, my boy's lute master, who plays indeed mighty finely. And after dinner, I abroad, parting from Creed, and away to and fro, laying out or preparing for laying out more money, but I hope and resolve not to exceed therein. And tonight spoke for some fruit for the country for my father against Christmas. And where should I do it but at the pretty woman's that used to stand at the door in Fenchurch Street, I having a mind to know her. So home, and late at my office, evening reckonings with Shergold, hoping to get money by that business, and so away home to supper and to bed, not being very well through my taking cold of late, and so troubled with some wind. The 15th of December. Called up very betimes by Mr. Chumley, and with him a good while about some of his Tangier accounts. And discoursing of the condition of Tangier, he did give me the whole account of the difference between Fitzgerald and Norwood, which were very high on both sides, but most imperious and base on Fitzgerald's. And yet, through my Lord Fitzharding's means, the Duke of York is led rather to blame Norwood, and to speak that he should be called home, than be sensible of the other. He is a creature of Fitzharding's, as a fellow that may be done with what he will, and himself, certainly pretending to be general of the king's armies when Monk dieth, desires to have as few great or wise men in employment as he can now, but such as he can put in and keep under, which he doth this coxcomb Fitzgerald. It seems, of all mankind, there is no man so led by another as the Duke is by my Lord Muskerry, and this Fitzharding. Insomuch as when the king would have him to be privy purse, the Duke wept and said, "But, sir, I must have your promise, if you will have my dear Charles from me, that if ever you have occasion for an army again, I may have him with me," believing him to be the best commander of an army in the world. But Mr. Chumley thinks, as all other men I meet with do, that he is a very ordinary fellow. It is strange how the Duke also doth love naturally and affect the Irish above the English. He of the company he carried with him to sea took above two-thirds Irish and French. He tells me the king doth hate my Lord Chancellor, and that they, that is the king and my Lord Fitzharding, do laugh at him for a dull fellow. And in all this business of the Dutch war doth nothing by his advice, hardly consulting him. Only he is a good minister in other respects, and the king cannot be without him. But above all, being the Duke's father-in-law, he is kept in. Otherwise, Fitzharding were able to fling down two of him. This all the wise and grave lords see, and cannot help it but yield to it. But he bemoans what the end of it may be, the king's being ruled by these men, as he hath been all along since his coming, to the raising all the strongholds in Scotland, and giving liberty to the Irish in Ireland, whom Cromwell had settled all in one corner, who are now able, and it is feared every day, a massacre again among them. He being gone, I abroad to the carriers to see some things sent away to my father against Christmas, and I thence to Moorfields, and there up and down to several houses to drink. To look for a place, pour rencontrer la femme de je sais quoi, against next Monday. But could meet none. But so to the coffee-house, where great talk of the comet seen in several places, and among our men at sea, and by my Lord Sandwich, to whom I intend to write about it to-night. Thence home to dinner, and then to the office, where all the afternoon, and in the evening home to supper, and then to the office late, and so to bed. This night I began to burn wax candles in my closet at the office, to try the charge, and to see whether the smoke offends like that of tallow candles. The 16th of December. Up and by water to Deptford, thinking to have met La Femme de Bagwell, but failed, and having done some business at the yard, I back again, it being a fine fresh morning to walk. Back again, Mr. Waith walking with me to Halfway House, talking about Mr. Castle's fine knees lately delivered in which I am well informed that they are not as they should be to make them knees, and I hope shall make good use of it to the King's service. Thence home, and having dressed myself, to the change, and thence home to dinner, and so abroad by coach with my wife, and bought a looking-glass by the old exchange, which costs me £5 5 shillings, and 6 shillings for the hooks, a very fair glass. So toward my cousin Scott's, but meeting my Lady Sandwich's coach, my wife turned back to follow them, thinking they might, as they did, go to visit her, and I light and to Mistress Harmon, and there stayed and talked in her shop with her, and much pleased I am with her. We talked about Anthony Joyce's giving over trade, and that he intends to live in lodgings, which is a very mad foolish thing. She tells me she hears, and believes it is because he, being now beginning to be called on offices, resolves not to take the new oath, he having formerly taken the covenant or engagement. But I think he doth very simply, and will endeavour for his wife's sake to advise them therein. Thence to my cousin Scott's, and there met my cousin Roger Pepys, and Mistress Turner, and Theophila, and Joyce, and prated all the while, and so with the corpse to church, and heard a very fine sermon of the parson of the parish, and so homeward with them in their coach, but finding it too late to go home with me, I took another coach, and so home, and after a while at my office, home to supper and to bed. The 17th of December. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning. At noon, I to the change, and there, among others, had my first meeting with Mr. Lestrange, who hath endeavoured several times to speak with me. It is to get now and then some news of me, which I shall, as I see cause, give him. He is a man of fine conversation, I think, but I am sure most courtly and full of compliment. Thence home to dinner, and then came the looking-glass man to set up the looking-glass I bought yesterday in my dining-room, and very handsome it is. So abroad by coach to Whitehall, and there to the committee of Tangier, and then the fishing. Mr. Povey did in discourse give me a rub about my late bill for money that I did get of him, which vexed me, and stuck in my mind all this evening, though I know very well how to clear myself at the worst. So home and to my office, where late, and then home to bed. Mighty talk there is of this comet that is seen o'nights, and the King and Queen did sit up last night to see it, and did, it seems. And to-night I thought to have done so too, but it is cloudy, and so no stars appear. But I will endeavour it. Mr. Gray did tell me to-night for certain that the Dutch, as high as they seem, do begin to buckle, and that one man in this kingdom did tell the King that he is offered £40,000 to make a peace, and others have been offered money also. It seems the taking of their Bordeaux fleet thus arise from a printed gazette of the Dutch's boasting of fighting and having beaten the English, in confidence whereof, it coming to Bordeaux, all the fleet comes out and so falls into our hands. The 18th of December, Lord's Day. To church, where, God forgive me, I spent most of my time in looking my new Morena at the other side of the church, an acquaintance of Peg Penn's. So, home to dinner, and then to my chamber to read Ben Jonson's Catiline, a very excellent piece. And so to church again, and thence we met at the office to hire ships, being in great haste, and having sent for several masters of ships to come to us. Then home, and there Mr. Andrews and Hill came, and we sung finely. And by Mr. Fuller the parson, and supped with me, he and a friend of his. But my music friends would not stay supper. At and after supper Mr. Fuller and I told many stories of apparitions and delusions thereby, and I out with my stories of Tom Mallard. He gone, I a little to my office, and then to prayers and to bed. The 19th of December. Going to bed betimes last night, we waked betimes, and from our people's being forced to take the key to go out to light a candle, I was very angry, and begun to find fault with my wife for not commanding her servants as she ought. Thereupon, she giving me some cross answer, I did strike her over her left eye such a blow, as the poor wretch did cry out, and was in great pain. But yet her spirit was such as to endeavour to bite and scratch me. But I, cogging with her, made her leave crying, and sent for butter and parsley, and friends presently one with another, and I up, vexed at my heart to think what I had done, for she was forced to lay a poultice or something to her eye all day, and is black, and the people of the house observed it. But I was forced to rise, and up and with Sir John Minnis to Whitehall, and there we waited on the Duke. And among other things Mr. Coventry took occasion to vindicate himself before the Duke and us, being all there, about the choosing of Taylor for Harwich. Upon which the Duke did clear him, and did tell us that he did expect that after he had named a man, none of us shall then oppose or find fault with that man. But if we had anything to say, we ought to say it before he had chose him. Sir George Carteret thought himself concerned, and endeavoured to clear himself. And by Sir William Batten did speak, knowing himself guilty, and did confess that being pressed by the council, he did say what he did, that he was accounted a fanatic, but did not know that at that time he had been appointed by His Royal Highness, to which the Duke replied that it was impossible but he must know that he had appointed him, and so it did appear that the Duke did mean all this while Sir William Batten. So, by and by we parted, and Mr. Coventry did privately tell me that he did this day take this occasion to mention the business, to give the Duke an opportunity of speaking his mind to Sir William Batten in this business, of which I was heartily glad. Thence home, and not finding Bagwell's wife, as I expected, I to the change, and there walked up and down, and then home, and she being come, I bid her go and stay at Moorgate for me, and after going up to my wife, whose eye is very bad, but she in very good temper to me. And after dinner, I to the place, and walked round the fields again and again, but not finding her, I to the change, and there found her waiting for me, and took her away into an alehouse, and there I made much of her, and then away thence, and to another, and endeavoured to caress her. But elle ne voulait pas, which did vex me, but I think it was chiefly not having a good easy place to do it upon. So we broke up and parted, and I to the office where we sat hiring of ships an hour or two, and then to my office, and thence, with Captain Taylor, home to my house, to give him instructions and some notice of what, to his great satisfaction, had happened to-day, which I do because I hope his coming into this office will a little cross Sir William Batten and may do me good. He gone, I to supper with my wife, very pleasant, and then a little to my office, and to bed. My mind, God forgive me, too much running upon what I can faire avec la femme de Bagwell demain, having promised to go to Deptford, and à aller à sa maison avec son mari, when I come thither. The 20th of December. Up and walked to Deptford, where, after doing something at the yard, I walked, without being observed, with Bagwell home to his house, and there was very kindly used, and the poor people did get a dinner for me in their fashion, of which I also ate very well. After dinner I found occasion of sending him abroad, and then, alone, avec elle, je tente toi à faire ce que je voudrais, et contre sa force, je le faisois, bien que pas à mon contentement. By and by, he coming back again, I took leave and walked home, and then there to dinner, where Dr. Fairbrother came to see me, and Llewellyn. We dined, and I to the office, leaving them, where we sat all the afternoon, and I late at the office. To supper, and to the office again very late, then home to bed. The 21st of December. Up, and after evening reckonings to this day with Mr. Bridges, the linen draper for calicoes, I out to Doctor's Commons, where by agreement my cousin Roger and I did meet my cousin Dr. Tom Pepys, and there a great many and some high words on both sides. But I must confess I was troubled, first to find my cousin Roger such a simple but well-meaning man as he is, next to think that my father, out of folly and vainglory, should now and then, as by their words I gather, be speaking how he had set up his son Tom with his goods and house, and now these words are brought against him, I fear to the depriving him of all the profit the poor man intended to make of the lease of his house and sale of his own goods. I intend to make a quiet end, if I can, with the doctor, being a very foul-tongued fool, and of great inconvenience to be at difference with such a one that will make that base noise about it that he will. Thence, very much vexed to find myself so much troubled about other men's matters, I to Mistress Turner in Salisbury Court, and with her a little and carried her, the porter staying for me, our eagle, which she desired the other day, and we were glad to be rid of her, she fouling our house of office mightily. They are much pleased with her, and thence I home, and after dinner to the office, where Sir William Ryder and Cutler came, and in dispute, I very high with them against their demands. I hope to no hurt to myself, for I was very plain with them to the best of my reason. So they gone, I home to supper, then to the office again, and so home to bed. My Lord Sandwich this day writes me word that he hath seen at Portsmouth the comet, and says it is the most extraordinary thing that ever he saw. The 22nd of December. Up and betimes to my office, and then out to several places, among others to Holborn, to have spoke with one Mr. Underwood about some English hemp. He lies against Gray's Inn. Thereabouts I to a barber's shop to have my hair cut, and there met with a copy of verses, mightily commended by some gentleman there, of my Lord Mordaunt's in excuse of his going to sea, this late expedition with the Duke of York. But, Lord, they are but sorry things. Only a lord made them. Thence to the change, and there among the merchants, I hear fully the news of our being beaten to dirt at Guinea by De Ruyter with his fleet. The particulars, as much as by Sir George Carteret afterward I heard, I have said in a letter to my Lord Sandwich this day at Portsmouth, it being most wholly to the utter ruin of our royal company, and reproach and shame to the whole nation, as well as justification to them in their doing wrong to no man as to his private property, only take whatever is found to belong to the company, and nothing else. Dined at the Dolphin, Sir George Carteret, Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten and I, with Sir William Borman and Sir Theophilus Bidulph and others, commissioners of the sewers, about our place below to lay masts in. But coming a little too soon, I out again, and took boat down to Redriff, and just in time within 2 minutes, and saw the new vessel of Sir William Petty's launched, the King and Duke being there. It swims and looks finely, and I believe will do well. The name, I think, is Twilight, but I do not know certainly. Coming away back immediately to dinner, where a great deal of good discourse and Sir George Carteret's discourse of this Guinea business, with great displeasure at the loss of our honour there, and doth now confess that that trade brought all these troubles upon us between the Dutch and us. Thence to the office, and there sat late, Then I to my office, and there till 12 at night, and so home to bed, weary. The 23rd of December. Up and to my office, then came by appointment cousin Tom Trice to me, and I paid him the £20 remaining due to him, upon the bond of £100 given him by agreement, November 1663, to end the difference between us about my aunt's, his mother's, money. And here, being willing to know the worst, I told him, "I hope now there is nothing remaining between you and I of future dispute." "No," says he, "nothing at all that I know of, but only a small matter of about 20 or 30 shillings that my father Pepys received for me, of rent due to me in the country, which I will in a day or two bring you an account of." And so we parted. Dined at home upon a good turkey which Mr. Shepley sent us, then to the office all the afternoon. Mr. Cutler and others coming to me about business, I hear that the Dutch have prepared a fleet to go the back way to the Straits, where, without doubt, they will master our fleet. This, put to that of Guinea, makes me fear them mightily, and certainly they are a most wise people, and careful of their business. The King of France, they say, doth declare himself obliged to defend them, and lays claim by his ambassador to the wines we have taken from the Dutch Bordeaux men. And more, it is doubted whether the Swede will be our friend or no. Pray God deliver us out of these troubles. This day Sir William Batten sent, and afterwards spoke to me, to have me and my wife come and dine with them on Monday next, which is a mighty condescension in them, and for some great reason, I am sure, or else it pleases God, by my late care of business, to make me more considerable even with them than I am sure they would willingly own me to be. God make me thankful and careful to preserve myself so, for I am sure they hate me, and it is hope or fear that makes them flatter me. It being a bright night, which it hath not been a great while, I purpose to endeavour to be called in the morning to see the comet, though I fear we shall not see it, because it rises at the highest but 16 degrees, and then the houses will hinder us. The 24th of December. Having sat up all night, to past 2 o'clock this morning, our porter, being appointed, comes and tells us that the bellman tells him that the star is seen upon Tower Hill. So I, that had been all night setting in order all my old papers in my chamber, did leave off all, and my boy and I to Tower Hill, it being a most fine bright moonshine night and a great frost. But no comet to be seen. So after running once round the hill, I and Tom, we home, and then to bed. Rose about 9 o'clock, and then to the office, where sitting all the morning. At noon to the change, to the coffee-house, and there heard Sir Richard Ford tell the whole story of our defeat at Guinea, wherein our men are guilty of the most horrid cowardice and perfidiousness, as he says and tells it, that ever English men were. Captain Reynolds, that was the only commander of any of the King's ships there, was shot at by De Ruyter with a bloody flag flying. He, instead of opposing, which indeed had been to no purpose but only to maintain honour, did poorly go on board himself to ask what De Ruyter would have, and so yielded to whatever Ruyter would desire. The King and Duke are highly vexed at it seems, and the business deserves it. Thence home to dinner, and then abroad to buy some things, and among others to my bookseller's, and there saw several books I spoke for, which are finely bound, and good books, to my great content. So home and to my office, where late. This evening, I being informed, did look, and saw the comet, which is now, whether worn away or no, I know not, but appears not with a tail, but only is larger and duller than any other star, and is come to rise betimes, and to make a great arch, and is gone quite to a new place in the heavens than it was before. But I hope, in a clearer night, something more will be seen. So home to bed. The 25th of December. Lord's Day and Christmas Day. Up, my wife's eye being ill still of the blow I did in a passion give her on Monday last, to church alone, where Mr. Mills, a good sermon. To dinner, at home, we're very pleasant with my wife and family. After dinner, I to Sir William Batten's, and there received so much good usage, as I have of late done, from him and my lady, obliging me and my wife, according to promise, to come and dine with them tomorrow with our neighbours, that I was in pain all the day, and night too after, to know how to order the business of my wife's not going, and by discourse receive fresh instances of Sir John Minnis's folly in complaining to Sir George Carteret of Sir William Batten and me for some family offences, such as my having of a stopcock to keep the water from them, which vexes me, but it would more but that Sir George Carteret knows him very well. Thence to the French church, but coming too late I returned, and to Mr. Rawlinson's church, where I heard a good sermon of one that I remember was at Paul's with me, his name Meggot, and very great store of fine women there is in this church, more than I know anywhere else about us. So home and to my chamber, looking over and setting in order my papers and books, and so to supper, and then to prayers, and to bed. The 26th of December. Up and with Sir William Penn to Whitehall, and there, with the rest, did our usual business before the Duke, and then with Sir William Batten back and to his house, where I, by sickness, excused my wife's coming to them today. Thence I to the coffee-house, where much good discourse, and all the opinion now is that the Dutch will avoid fighting with us at home, but do all the hurt they can to us abroad, which it may be they may for a while, but that, I think, cannot support them long. Thence to Sir William Batten, where Mr. Coventry and all our families here, women and all, and Sir Richard Ford and his. And a great feast, and good discourse and merry. I here all the afternoon and evening till late, only stepped in to see my wife. Then to my office to enter my day's work, and so home to bed, where my people and wife innocently at cards, very merry, and I to bed leaving them to their sport and blind man's buff. The 27th and 28th of December. My people came to bed after their sporting at 4 o'clock in the morning, I up at 7 and to Deptford and Woolwich in a galley, the Duke calling to me out of the barge in which the King was with him going down the river, to know whither I was going. I told him to Woolwich, but was troubled afterward I should say no farther, being in a galley, lest he think me too profuse in my journeys. Did several businesses, and then back again by 2 o'clock to Sir John Minnis to dinner by appointment, where all yesterday's company but Mr. Coventry, who could not come. Here merry, and after an hour's chat, I down to the office, where busy late, and then home to supper and to bed. The comet appeared again tonight, but duskishly. I went to bed, leaving my wife and all her folks, and Will also, to come to make Christmas gambols tonight. I waked in the morning about 6 o'clock, and my wife not come to bed. I lacked a pot, but there was none, and bitter cold, so was forced to rise and piss in the chimney, and to bed again. Slept a little longer, and then hear my people coming up, and so I rose, and my wife to bed at 8 o'clock in the morning, which vexed me a little, but I believe there was no hurt in it all, but only mirth. Therefore took no notice. I abroad with Sir William Batten to the council chamber, where all of us to discourse about the way of measuring ships, and the freight fit to give for them, by the ton. Where it was strange, methought, to hear so poor discourses among the lords themselves, and most of all, to see how a little empty matter, delivered gravely by Sir William Penn, was taken mighty well, though nothing in the earth to the purpose. But cloths, I perceive more and more every day, is a great matter. Thence home with Sir William Batten by coach, and I home to dinner, finding my wife still in bed. After dinner abroad, and among other things visited my Lady Sandwich, and was there with her and the young ladies playing at cards till night, then home and to my office late, then home to bed, leaving my wife and people up to more sports, but without any great satisfaction to myself therein. The 29th of December. Up into the office where we sat all the morning, then, whereas I should have gone and dined with Sir William Penn and the rest of the officers at his house, I pretended to dine with my Lady Sandwich, and so home, where I dined well and begun to wipe and clean my books in my chamber, in order to the settling of my papers and things there thoroughly, and then to the office where all the afternoon sitting, and in the evening home to supper, and then to my work again. The 30th of December. Lay very long in bed with wife, it being very cold, and my wife very full of a resolution to keep within doors, not so much as to go to church or see my Lady Sandwich before Easter next, which I am willing enough to, though I seem the contrary. This and other talk kept me abed till almost 10 o'clock. Then up and made an end of looking over all my papers and books, and taking everything out of my chamber to have all made clean. At noon dined, and after dinner forth to several places to pay away money to clear myself in all the world, and among other paid my bookseller £6 for books I had from him this day, and the silversmiths £22.18 for spoons, forks, and sugar-box, and being well pleased with seeing my business done to my mind, as to my meeting with people and having my books ready for me, I home and to my office, and there did business late, and then home to supper, prayers, and to bed. The 31st of December. At the office all the morning, and after dinner there again, dispatched first my letters, and then to my accounts, not of the month, but of the whole year also, and was at it till past 12 at night, it being bitter cold. But yet I was well satisfied with my work, and above all, to find myself, by the great blessing of God, worth £1,349, by which, as I have spent very largely, so I have laid up above £500 this year, above what I was worth this day 12 months. The Lord make me for ever thankful to his holy name for it. Thence home to eat a little, and so to bed. As soon as ever the clock struck one, I kissed my wife in the kitchen by the fireside, wishing her a merry new year, observing that I believe I was the first proper wisher of it this year, for I did it as soon as ever the clock struck one. So ends the old year. I bless God with great joy to me. Not only from my having made so good a year of profit, as having spent £420 and laid up £540 and upward. But I bless God, I have never been in so good plight as to my health in so very cold weather as this is, nor indeed in any hot weather these 10 years, as I am at this day, and have been these 4 or 5 months. But am at a great loss to know whether it be my hare's foot, or taking every morning of a pill of turpentine, or my having left off the wearing of a gown. My family is my wife, in good health, and happy with her. Her woman, Mercer, a pretty, modest, quiet maid, her chambermaid, Bess, her cookmaid, Jane, the little girl, Susan, and my boy, which I have had about 30 years, Tom Edwards, which I took from the King's Chapel. And a pretty and loving, quiet family I have as any man in England. My credit in the world and my office grows daily, and I am in good esteem with everybody, I think. My troubles of my uncle's estate pretty well over, but it comes to be but of little profit to us, my father being much supported by my purse. But great vexations remain upon my father and me from my brother Tom's death and ill condition, both to our disgrace and discontent, though no great reason for either. Public matters are all in a hurry about a Dutch war, our preparations great, our provocations against them great, and after all our presumption, we are now afeard as much of them as we lately contemned them. Everything else in the state, quiet, blessed be God, my Lord Sandwich at sea with the fleet at Portsmouth, sending some about to cruise for taking of ships, which we have done to a great number. This Christmas I judged it fit to look over all my papers and books, and to tear all that I found either boyish, or not to be worth keeping, or fit to be seen if it should please God to take me away suddenly. Among others I found these two or three notes which I thought fit to keep. Age of my grandfather's children. Thomas, 1595. Mary, March the 16th, 1597. Edith, October the 11th, 1599. John, my father, January the 14th, 1601. My father and mother married at Newington in Surrey, October the 15th, 1626. Their children's ages. Mary, July the 24th, 1627. Mortua. Paulina, September the 18th, 1628. Mortua. Esther, March the 27th, 1630. Mortua. John, January the 10th, 1631. Mortuus. Samuel, February the 23rd, 1632. Went to reside in Magdalene College, Cambridge, and did put on my gown first, March the 5th, 1651. Thomas, June the 18th, 1634, mortuus. Sarah, August the 25th, 1635, mortua. Jacob, May the 1st, 1637, mortuus. Robert, November the 18th, 1638, mortuus. Paulina, October the 18th, 1640. John, November the 26th, 1641, mortuus. December the 31st, 1664. Charms for 1. Stenching of blood. Sanguis mane in te, sicut Christus fecit in se, sanguis mane in tua vena. Sicut Christus in sua poena, sanguis mane fixus, sicut Christus quando fuit crucifixus. 2. A thorn. Jesus that was of a virgin born was pricked both with nail and thorn. It neither wheeled nor belled, rankled nor boned. In the name of Jesus no more shall this. Or thus. Christ was of a virgin born, and he was pricked with a thorn, and it did neither bell nor swell, and I trust in Jesus this never will. 3. A cramp. Cramp be thou faintless, as Our Lady was sinless when she bare Jesus. 4. A burning. There came three angels out of the east, the one brought fire, the other brought frost, out fire, in frost. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, Amen. Appendix. Dr. Burnett's prescription and advice. Dr. Burnett's advice to me. The original is filed among my letters. Take of the roots of marshmallows 4 ounces of comfrey, of licorice of each 2 ounces, of the flowers of St. John's wort 2 handsful, of the leaves of plantain, of ale hoof of each 3 handfuls, of self-heal, of red roses of each 1 handful, of cinnamon, of nutmeg of each 1/2 ounce, beat them well, then pour upon them 1 quart of old Rhenish wine, and about 6 hours after strain it, and clarify it with the white of an egg, and with a sufficient quantity of sugar, boil it to the consistence of a syrup, and reserve it for use. Dissolve 1 spoonful of this syrup in every draught of ale or beer you drink. Morning and evening swallow the quantity of an hazelnut of Cyprus terebentine. If you are bound, or have a fit of the stone, eat 1 ounce of cassia newly drawn, from the point of a knife. Old Canary or Malaga wine you may drink to 3 or 4 glasses, but no new wine, and what wine you drink, let it be at meals.